You can find any sermons that we preach on sermonaudio.com. If you go there, all of our messages are now being live streamed right to Sermon Audio. And then as well, you can find it on the White River Baptist Church Facebook page. They're streamed there. And then we also, Brother Dave, we have a YouTube channel now, right? And what's that underneath? Just White River Baptist Church, yes. Princeton. Okay, so you got three avenues if you want to catch up on a message, maybe that you, if you were sick or something. So three avenues, sermonaudio.com, type my name in or the church name in to pull it up on once you get to Sermon Audio. Our Facebook page is the way it's always been, and then also we have a YouTube channel now. And so we're just trying to get the word out as much as we can. All right, as long as they... There we go. That's all right. We're tweaking. We're working. As long as I don't get kicked off of YouTube, that's probably going to happen. I'm just telling you. I'm actually kind of thinking to myself, how many sermons is it going to take before I get kicked off, okay? I'm surprised I haven't got put in Facebook jail yet. But anyway, who cares? You know what? It don't matter. We'll use it as long as we can. But whether we use it or not, we're still going forward and preaching truth. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to finish up a message that we started last week. And, of course, February, Missions Emphasis Month. And, by the way, let me just say this. I don't know, and I'll let you know next week, the guys are still tabulating. But from what I can see right now, folks, listen, it's pretty amazing if what has been pledged comes in. It's a very substantial amount will allow us to really do some good things with our missions work. Yeah. And so all that to say, you know, I don't know who it is. I don't want to know who it is, but thank you for being a part of that, all of us that are a part of it. And it's just a way for us to invest in the Lord's work. And so anyway, we'll give you update on that as they come in. But we just came off Missions Emphasis Month, and we talked all month. On Sunday morning, we had missionaries in, and we talked about different things about why we should be involved in missions. Well, last week, I brought you a message that talks about the eternal rewards that as Christians we are earning, our eternal rewards. In fact, the Bible gives us, and there may be more than this, but the five that we know, the Bible mentions five different crowns that can be earned as we labor on earth, again, not to be saved, but because we are saved, amen, as we labor on earth. And so that's what we're talking about. We talked about two of them last week. I'm going to give you the other three tonight. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3, if you find your place, stand together with me as we read the scripture beginning in verse 8. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 8. The Bible says this, "Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. For other foundation can no man lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a reward. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." Let us pray. Lord, we love you. Thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight. I pray that you bless the preaching of your word. Lord, I pray that you would motivate us as your people to obey the word of God and be everything that you'd have for us to be. Lord, if there's someone here tonight that doesn't know you as Savior, we ask, Lord, that they'd accept you before it's eternally too late. Lord, we love you. We praise you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, I'm not going to go back and re-preach what I already preached last week, okay? We'd be here till 9 o'clock, and none of us want to be here that long, okay? But I will quickly review what it is that we talked about last week, okay? Now, our passage here is referring to what is known as the judgment seat of Christ. And this is the place where we as Christians will stand before Jesus Christ and, hey, be thankful, not give an account for our sin, amen? Amen. Aren't you glad for that? Yes, listen. Our sin was accounted for when Jesus Christ shed his blood on the cross, and we put our faith and trust in that, amen? Amen. That took care of our sins. Praise God for that, amen? And when God sees me, he no longer sees my sin. He sees the precious blood of his Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. That's why the Bible says that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin, amen? Not some, not most, all sin. And so we're not standing here before this judgment seat one of these days to give an account of our sin. What we're here to give an account of is our stewardship, or we could say this, the work we have done for Jesus Christ while we're alive on this earth. Okay? Now, by the way, listen, that's why it matters what you do once you're saved. It matters. Yeah. Okay? We're going to talk about that in just a minute. And the Bible talks about how that the works that we bring to the judgment seat, these are the things that we've done. The Bible specifically says, in our body, amen, in our body, what we've physically done for the Lord, eternal works, will be brought before the judgment seat, and they will be tried by fire. And what's that mean? Well, if you go to Revelation chapter 1, when the Apostle John saw Jesus Christ, the glorified Christ, on the island of Patmos, the Bible says that when Jesus looked at him, he had eyes like flaming fire. And literally, folks, that Jesus Christ will look at our works, will examine our works, and if they were the right type of works that matter for eternity, the Bible says that they will make it through the fire, the refiner's fire. And the Bible says if that's the case, guess what? You'll receive a reward. But if your works were not eternal works, they didn't matter for eternity, you did nothing for the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says your works will all burn up and you'll suffer loss. What loss is he talking about? Loss of reward. By the way, not loss of salvation. The Bible is very clear. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Hey, once you get saved, you're saved forever. Thank God for that. Amen? Amen. You can't lose your salvation. Absolutely not. But you can lose reward. You can lose reward. And so listen, my goal as your pastor is I want you to have a good day at the judgment seat of Christ when you face Jesus Christ. And I want you as a Christian to have some eternal rewards that you will earn and you'll have them once you get to heaven. That's my goal. That's why I preach how I preach. That's why I do certain things as far as trying to exhort the brethren like I did this morning. That's why we have certain things going on at the church here. Why? So it can give you an opportunity to earn eternal rewards. And listen, folks, that's what it's about. It's about trying to reach people for Christ, living for the Savior. Amen. By the way, that's why when you live your life on this earth, you got to make a choice. You got to choose. Am I going to live for me, for myself, or am I going to live for the cause of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
Every day is a choice. That's why the Apostle Paul said, I die daily. What was it? What was he talking about? I die daily to me, to what I want, to my desires, to my wants, and I live for the cause of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's a choice that must be made by every Christian every single day. Amen? And so let's make the right choice in that area. So, here's the rewards that we talked about last week. First of all, the Bible says, talks about the crown of life. And the crown of life is the survivor's crown or the martyr's crown. And you earn this crown by being faithful to death. Faithful to death. Now, I believe this means if someone would actually have to give their life for Jesus Christ as a martyr would. And someone asked me, what's a martyr? A martyr is someone who literally gives their life for the cause of Jesus Christ. Remember what our missionary said that was here last week, last Sunday morning? That in modern day times, there's more martyrs in modern day times than there's ever been. And the country that I believe, didn't he say number one on the list that's martyring Christians is the country of Nigeria. Why? Because it's under Muslim control. And you know what? They kill Christians all the time. Now that's a foreign concept to us here in America because we're not under that type of persecution yet. I'm not saying I'm not a doomsdayer. But I'm going to tell you, this is getting more hostile toward biblical Christianity. They hate us if you haven't figured it out yet. Okay? It seems like the stinking wicked pedophiles and perverts get by with everything. But Christians, you know, you do the smallest little thing, and man, they're trying to do everything they can to ruin us and in some cases take people to jail. Okay, listen, I'm not saying it's going to happen in America. I don't know. All I'm saying is this, we need to be faithful till death.
Right.
Amen? So I believe you can earn the crown of life by a martyr faithful to death, but also finishing your calling, being faithful to the cause of Jesus Christ until he either calls you out of here or that trumpet sounds and we go up and meet him in the air. Amen?
Right.
Faithful till death. Number two, we talked about the crown of rejoicing, or this is called the soul winner's crown. Reaching people for Jesus Christ. And that's what That's what Missions Emphasis Month was all about. That's what coming up, our spring program and other things we have around here is all about. Listen, folks, I don't apologize for the fact. We don't try to hide the fact that the main thrust of White River Baptist Church is reaching people for Jesus Christ. That's the purpose of the church.
That's right.
Now look, I love the family atmosphere we have here, and we ought to. Amen. It's a byproduct of the unity of the Holy Spirit of God. But listen, this is not a social gathering.
Right.
That's not why we're here. Now, can we, you know, enjoy that part of it? Yes. But we must never forget, we must always keep the main thing, and the main thing is the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Right. Amen.
Never forget that. That's what it's about. Amen. Yeah. Reaching people for Christ. And so listen, folks, God wants to use you individually, your individual efforts to reach people for Christ. Okay? Now, again, I'm not going to re-preach it all, but man, I can't help but talk about it. Amen? Here's a fair question for all of us. Who's going to be in heaven as a direct result of your efforts to reach somebody? Who? By the way, God wants to use you to reach people. The people you work beside, the people you live beside, the people that you come in contact with at the coffee store. Amen, Brother Andrew. Listen, handing out gospel tracts throughout the week. Sister Karen called me yesterday, and pray for her, by the way. She's very sick, not doing, she sounded not very good on the phone when I was talking to her, but she wanted to tell me. She was in Walmart this week, and she was talking to one of the workers there, and God laid on her heart to talk to her about the Lord, and she did. Thank God for that, amen, by the way. And talked to, invited this lady to church, and she says, I invited her to church, and then I was going back to check out, and the Holy Spirit said, go back and talk to her again. So she's like, I did. Surprise, surprise, a Christian obeying the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. She goes back and she says, look, and I thought it was funny. She's like, I'm not trying to stalk you or anything, but I just wanted to come back. And I think she was telling her, she's like, that gospel tract I gave you, it tells you how you can know for sure you're going to heaven. And witness to this young girl at Walmart. Amen. Listen, that's what it's about.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Reaching people for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And if you spend your life doing that, you know what? You can earn that crown, the crown of rejoicing. All right, that's review. Let's get into what we're going to talk about tonight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Go there. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. A few pages over from where you were just at, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And let's pick it up in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, 24. And this next crown we're going to talk about is called the incorruptible crown. The incorruptible crown, or we could call it this, the spiritual character award. The spiritual character award. All right, 1 Corinthians 9, and let's begin reading in verse 24. The Bible says this, know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible, thus the incorruptible crown. Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it, the body, into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now this is what, again, is called the spiritual character award. This crown is bestowed upon those who discipline themselves to develop good spiritual habits, which allow them, notice here, to run the race of the Christian life most effectively. Amen? Good spiritual habits that allow us to run the Christian life most effectively. You see, folks, you can be saved and on your way to heaven and yet not be the Christian God wants you to be. Okay? You know what? We all, from time to time, okay, get in that state that the Bible refers to as being backslidden. By the way, there's a word you don't hear preached on a whole lot anymore. Okay? Backsliding. What's that mean? That means this. I at one time was going this way, now I'm going this way. By the way, that's never the direction you want to go as a Christian.
Right.
God wants us to always be going forward. Amen. Always be going forward. Now listen, your race is not against the person you're sitting next to. Your race is against yourself. Amen? It's not a matter of, well, I've gone this far compared to this Christian. No! We're not comparing ourselves to other Christians. We're comparing ourselves to the ultimate standard, and that is the standard none of us will ever hit, and that's our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
How much more am I like Christ today than I was yesterday? How more Christ-like am I in my walk this month than I was last month? It's always about going forward, and it's always about trying to be like our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Christ. Now, the Bible says, in order to do this, the Apostle Paul said there, that you've got to keep under my body and bring it into subjection. What's that talking about? It's another place it refers to as this, dying to self. Dying to self. Amen? Let me just help you with something, okay? If I were to ask you, who's your greatest enemy? Okay, most people are going to probably say, if you're spiritually minded, the devil. Right? That's what we would say. I got news for you. He's not your greatest enemy. Now, he's probably number two. I'm going to tell you your worst and most enemy that you'll ever fight in the Christian life. It's real easy. Okay, you know who it is? It's who you look at in the mirror at every day. It's not because your spouse is standing behind you. Amen. No, it's that ugly mug you look at least for me. All right? I look at that ugly mug every morning. And I'm like, oh, the flesh. The flesh. And listen, folks, if you're going to have spiritual character, you must learn to crucify the flesh. And by that, I mean the desires, the wants, all this stuff that's anti-God, anti-Bible, you got to learn to die to that every single day. Amen? Listen, folks, many Christians disregard what the Bible has to say about things like holiness, church attendance, tithing, and on the list could go. Listen, folks, it doesn't mean they're not going to heaven if they don't do those things. It just means this. You know what? You're not earning a reward in that area of your Christian life. Listen, Jesus made it very clear, okay? If you're going to be his disciple, you know what you've got to do? Daily, it says. Daily, right? You got to take up your cross and follow him. By the way, did you ever think about that when he says take up your cross? What is a cross, by the way? You know what it is? It's an instrument of death. That's what a cross is. Okay? That's what it was meant for, to put people to death. So you know what that means? Jesus is saying, if you're going to be my disciple, every single day you got to die to self, say no to what you want, and say yes to what I want. Mm-hmm. It's called spiritual character award. Amen? And listen, folks, it's so important that we as God's people live according to the Word of God. Amen? You see, folks, listen. God doesn't want us just to get to heaven, although he does, okay? If that's the case, as soon as you got saved, boom, you'd automatically be there. He wants for us to finish our race on earth and do it with success. Hey, I got good news for you. Jesus Christ is rooting for you. Amen. He wants you to make it. He wants you to be successful. Hey, he wants you to earn all these rewards and wants to give them to you and award them to you. He is your biggest advocate of Jesus Christ. Amen. And listen, folks, he wants you to win. But here's the thing. You know what? He won't make you do what you got to do in order to win and finish your race. That must be where our effort comes in. Our determination, our willingness to crucify the flesh, daily take up our cross, and follow Jesus Christ. By the way, you know what that is, truth be told, if you break it down to the bare bones? It's an opportunity for us to prove our love to Jesus Christ. That's what it is. Listen, we can never repay him, right, for what he's done for us. By the way, salvation is a free gift. You'll never be able to pay for salvation, nor should you try to pay for salvation. But that being said, listen, folks, if he's done all that for me, shouldn't I give my best for him? Amen. I mean, come on, don't you want to some way prove your love to him? Listen, I failed him enough in life, okay? I've disappointed him enough. I don't want to disappoint him as I run my race. Hey, I want to put a smile on his face. By the way, you can. You can. If you will, do what the Bible says and die to self, daily take up your cross, and follow him. By the way, I love how Paul here uses these analogies of sports. And that's what he's doing there in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. I mean, he's talking about running. Talking about running a race. Listen, Paul knew what those the games were, right? Rome, you study ancient Roman culture, they were all about that stuff. And he knew what that he was talking about. He was using that as an illustration. He was using this thing about fighting, okay? Sparring. Talk about sport type, if you want to, I don't know if it was necessarily exactly like our modern day boxing, but it was competitive sport type fighting, okay? MMA, right? No, but that's what he's referring to. And notice what he says here. He talks about the fact that those people who do that, listen, they know how to bring their body and discipline themselves so they can win the prize. By the way, that translates even to modern era, right? I mean, these athletes that all their life is about winning the prize, being the best athlete they can be. I mean, right now, the NFL Combine's going on, and I believe it's in Indianapolis this year. And I'm going to tell you, those athletes are serious about doing whatever they have to do to make an NFL team. I mean, they're serious about it. Listen, they eat a certain way. They don't do certain things. They sleep a certain way. I mean, they take care of themselves. Why? Because they're trying to win their prize. Yep. Now, listen, if they'll do that for a temporal prize, that, truth be told, is not going to matter 100 years from now, why aren't we as God's people doing that, if not just that, more than that? Because we're striving for something that is going to matter 100 years from now. That incorruptible crown. By the way, Christian, that's why it matters, the things that you do in your body. It matters.
Yes,
oh, you're a bunch of legalists. By the way, everybody that accuses me of being a legalist, most of them don't even know what the word means. Okay, biblically, a legalist is someone who adds things to salvation. For example, Paul talking about the Jews, right? Adding, once Christ died, did away with the, adding sacrifice to salvation. Adding live in a certain way to salvation. Okay? That's biblical legalism. When you add something to be saved besides faith and trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. Okay? Listen now. Let me help you with something. Okay? Trying to live a holy life. Okay? Having, the dreaded S word, standards. Right? By the way, this is interesting. Everybody has standards. Do you realize the world has standards? You realize if you go work at McDonald's, you have to abide by their standards? So why should it shock us that the Bible and God has requirements on how we're supposed to live?
Amen.
And God has a right to tell us what to do?
Yes,
yes He does.
Amen.
God has a right to tell us what to wear and not what to wear. By the way, the Bible does.
Yes,
yep, it does. The Bible has a right to tell us what we should watch, what we shouldn't watch, what we should listen to, what we shouldn't listen to, who we should be around and who we should not be around. Listen, God's got an opinion about every area of our lives.
Right?
And one of the damaging things that this modern Christianity has done, it's removed and taken away holy living in the name of, you know, Christian freedom and not being a legalist. And they've literally led people in a damnable path where the flesh is lifted up and the spirit is quietened and there's no power of God in any of that stuff. Because if you lift up the flesh, I'm telling you right now, the Spirit of God's not lifted up. You can't have it both ways. You can't lift up the flesh, live after the flesh, and expect to have God's power on you. Ain't gonna happen. Take it to the bank. Amen. No, it requires discipline. Holiness. What's the Bible say? God said, "Be holy, for I am holy," saith the Lord. Right? There ought to be a difference between the Christian and the world. Well, how much of a difference? As different as light is from darkness.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I mean, come on, folks. If you're in some place dark, turn the light on. It's obvious the light's on. Right? You shut the light off. It's obvious the light's off. That is how obvious it ought to be.
Amen.
Yes. Now, folks, again, I'm not talking about, you know, wearing a brown robe and living in a monastery and separating yourself and taking a vow of silence and all that stuff. That's foolishness. That's not what God's put us here to do. In the world, but not of the world, the Bible says.
Right.
Right? But in the midst of our walk, in the midst of this dark world, living in such a way, not where we bring glory to ourselves, but through our lives, we bring glory to Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." And our lives as Christians are supposed to reflect glory back to God, not to the world, not to the flesh, and not to the devil.
Amen.
To God.
Right.
Amen. And so, folks, it matters. It matters. Why does it matter? Because if you'll live this way, by the way, folks, I'm just telling you right now, it's a very liberating way to live. Right? The world's all about liberation, liberation. You know, this liberation, that liberation. How about this? Biblical liberation. Because let me tell you what it does, folks. It gives you an opportunity to represent Jesus Christ. By the way, it takes the pressure off me. I'm not doing this for me. I'm doing it for Him, and I'm going to live for Him. And folks, listen to me. Why in the world would the world want what we have if we're not different than the world? If you talk like the world, act like the world, do the same things the world does, why? What makes you think they're going to want what you have? The point in holiness and separation, folks, is yes, so we can live away, but it's so that the world then can see the difference in our lives and want what we have.
Amen.
And know there's something different about you crazy Christians.
Amen.
Oh, it's crazy, all right. It's crazy good. Amen.
Amen.
crazy good. So let me just encourage you, hey, buy into this. Figure out what the Bible tells you to do and do it and live it. The incorruptible crown, the spiritual character award. All right, let me show you another one here. And I won't take a lot of time on this. We'll go to 1 Peter chapter 5. 1 Peter chapter 5. And this is another crown that can be earned. But this crown is for a particular group of people. It's called the crown of glory. The crown of glory, 1 Peter chapter 5. And we'll let the scripture explain it. We'll talk about it for a minute. And then we'll move on to the last one, because that's where I want to spend the rest of our time. All right, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. Verse 1. The Bible says this. The elders which are among you. By the way, let me just teach you something here, okay? Anytime you see the word elder, you see the word bishop, you see the word pastor, it's all referring to the same thing, just different ways that office is administered, okay? That's what it's talking about. It's not teaching you that there ought to be four or five different ruling bodies in the church.
Right.
Okay, that's not what that is. Okay, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, talking about a pastor, a leader of a church, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Okay, now I've preached a whole message before on a pastor's responsibility to his people. And I use these verses because the Bible is very clear on what a pastor is supposed to do. Verse 2, feed the flock of God which is among you. Okay, listen, the job of a pastor is to feed his people spiritually. But you know what? You can't eat if you don't show up for feeding times.
That's right.
Okay, common sense, right? Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. The pastor is supposed to be the overseer of the church. Okay, again, folks, it's not a dictatorship. Okay, that's not what it is. But it is talking about having oversight or having pastoral authority in the church. The Bible teaches that. Now, is there a check and balance system? Absolutely. We taught that before. I'm not teaching that tonight. Okay? Not by consent, but willingly. Not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Talk about the motives behind it. It ain't about money, is what he's saying. Okay? It's not about money. Verse 3. Neither as being lords over God's heritage. Okay? Again, goes back to this thing that the pastor is not the king of the church. Okay? He's not the dictator of the church. That's what it says. Not being lords over God's heritage. Hey, there's a balance there between biblical pastoral authority and then a pastor getting a godlike complex about himself. There's a balance to all that, and that's why the Bible mentions it very specifically. Yes, he's to take the oversight, but he's not the Lord of the church because there's already one Lord of the church, and that's Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is the chief shepherd. The pastor is the under-shepherd.
Amen.
But God has a chain of authority. In every area of a life, God has a chain of authority. It's no different with his church. Okay,
right.
But being examples to the flock. Now look at verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now God reserves a crown for men who have answered and faithfully fulfilled the call of God on their life as pastor. Okay, now again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because as far as I know, there's one pastor in this church, okay? But I'm just putting it out here so you know what the Bible has to say about it. All right, I'm not being self-serving. In fact, if anything, reading these verses makes me very sobering about my calling as a pastor. Makes me take very serious what God has called me to do. Okay? But here's what he says. He talks about how that this crown is received or for those pastors that fulfill their biblical calling and lead the church the way God would have for them to lead them. Amen? And so it's important that pastors take this serious. Amen? Because there's a crown that is waiting. And by the way, folks, listen to me. Let me tell you why that I try to, the best I can, to lead this church in a biblical way. Okay? First of all, is it for your benefit? Absolutely. Is it for my benefit? Absolutely. But most importantly, it's for his benefit. Amen? But listen, folks, I want to do it such a way. And I don't think it's selfish to say, but I want to earn this crown of glory. I want to be a pastor that Jesus Christ can look at and know that I've tried to lead his flock, because it ain't my flock, it's his flock.
Right.
Let me just remind you, it ain't my church, it ain't your church, it's his church. Right? And I'm a steward of what's his. And I want to do so in such a way that he would be pleased and honored. By the way, folks, that's why when I come to this pulpit, you know what? I draw a circle around this pulpit. You know what that means? It doesn't matter what y'all think. I've got to preach what God tells me to preach. Okay? And I've got to sometimes come to this pulpit knowing that it's going to be maybe not well received. But if he tells me to preach it, I got to do it. Because I give an account to him, not you, as far as my preaching. Amen? Now, I do am accountable to the people on the way the church is ran, absolutely. But when it comes to preaching, hey, listen, folks, let me just help you with something, okay? Because sometimes, you know, every once in a while I hear a little bit of grumblings about maybe someone that I brought into the church. Okay, listen, it's not your business who I bring to this pulpit.
Right.
Okay, it's between me and God. Now, if I bring a heretic to this pulpit, like I said this morning, hold me accountable to the Word of God. But the preachers that I bring in here, folks, are the ones that God wants me to do that. And this is my area that God has for me. And what happens up here behind this pulpit, it's not your business, it's me and God's business. Now again, if it's heresy, if it's against the Word of God, like we said this morning, we're accountable to the Word of God. Amen. But that being said, folks, listen, I don't answer to you what I preach about. I answer to Him. Okay, I answer to Him. And you know what? I want to do it in a way that pleases Him, because if I'll do it right, and I pray that I am, and I hope that I am, and listen, I pray for you, I ask you to please pray for me as well, I want to earn the crown of glory. I want to earn that crown. But you know what? It takes work. It takes doing it the way it's supposed to be done. And so that's the crown. And here's the last one we're going to talk about. Take about the next 10 minutes and we'll close out tonight. From 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is the last crown. And I don't think you can really put an order of importance on these crowns. They're all important. But if there's one that I know that every single Christian can earn, it's this one right here. Every single one of us can earn this crown. And this is called the crown of righteousness. The crown of righteousness, or the steadfast award. Let me show you what we're talking about. 2 Timothy chapter 4. And this is Paul, as he's getting ready to cross into eternity, he's getting ready to be put to death, getting ready to have his head separated from his body, and he's getting ready to see Christ again in heaven. All right, 2 Timothy chapter 4, some of his last words, here's what he says, all right? Verse 6, "For I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand." Talking about his martyrdom, okay? Getting ready to be martyred. He was put to death under the Roman Emperor Nero. All right, verse 7, "I have," by the way, come on now, this ought to be what all of us ought to be able to say right here, "I have fought the good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." By the way, all three of those things right there go all the way back to those other crowns we were talking about. Okay? And I believe Paul earned all five of those crowns. Okay? Listen, come on now. Can it be said of you, you fought a good fight? By the way, you can't fight a good fight, first of all, if you're not even in the fight. And second of all, you got to be fighting the good fight. You ain't fighting just a fight. You got to be fighting the right thing. Amen? Let me just help you with something. The right thing's not each other.
That's right.
That's not the right thing. By the way, I'll go so far to say this. The Bible says, it's not even flesh and blood. We're fighting a spiritual battle. Amen? A spiritual battle. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I mean, come on. What we say in Matthew 25? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Faithful till the end. Finishing your course. I have kept the faith." By the way, notice that adjective in front of the word faith. The faith. You know what that means? There's only one.
Yeah.
Only one. Listen, I'm sorry, folks, but not every road leads to heaven.
Right.
Nobody goes to heaven because they had good intentions. Nobody's going because, man, they're such good people. Oh, no. You must keep the faith, as in there is only one faith. And where do you find that at? You find that in the Word of God right here. Amen?
Sure.
It's what the Bible says. And of course, the faith is according to the Word of God. Now, verse 8, here we go. "Henceforth, because of this, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day." Notice this now. "And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing." So here's what you got to do to earn the crown of righteousness. Okay, by the way, it doesn't take being shot or having your head cut off for being a Christian. It doesn't take faithfully maintaining the position of a pastor to receive this crown. It simply takes the three-word phrase that any Christian is capable of: love His appearing. Love His appearing. You may say, yeah, preacher, I know. Jesus is coming again. Okay, some people even say that in a mocking way. Listen, folks, yeah, I know, I get it. It's going to, you know, we're going to go to heaven. It's like some Christians, their attitude about eternity cracks me up. You know, I get to live in a mansion. I get to have a blissful, worry-free life. You know, what's not to love about that, right? I mean, come on, most Christians would say that, but come on. I'm afraid very few Christians really know what it means to love his appearing. Hey, if the preacher were to ask you, hey, do you love the appearing of Jesus Christ? Do you love the fact, look up here. Do you love the fact that Jesus Christ is going to come again? I think most of us would probably say yes. But here's the problem, okay? It's more than what we say. It's more than what we say, okay? I'm afraid that today, in the day and age we're living, the Laodicean church age, Revelation chapter 3 talks about that. Because of the apathy in the lives of Christians, because of the drive for the things of this life, the drive for the here and now, because of this take it or leave it attitude when it comes to churches sitting in pews all around churches in this country, I believe that, listen folks, this will be the least most received crown in heaven. You know why? Because Christians are too attached to this world. We say we love his appearing, but yet they never desire a daily relationship with him through prayer and his word. They say they love his appearing, yet they never take time to share the gospel with anybody, to hand out a gospel tract, to try to impact anybody for the cause of Jesus Christ. They say they love his appearing, but they dress like the world, talk like the world, go to the same places the world goes, watch the same things the world watches, and listen, you can't tell one difference between them and the world. And on it goes. Yep. But the truth of the matter is, folks, loving his appearing is more than what we say. It's how we live. It's how we live. In fact, verse 7, the verses we talked about, tells us what you got to do to love his appearing. How do you know if you love his appearing? Okay? You fight a good fight. You're involved in the fight. Amen? You're involved in the spiritual warfare. Listen, you fight against old smutty face. When he tries to get on your shoulder and get you down and tries to get you to quit on God, listen, instead of making excuses, you pick up your sword and you slice and dice until he goes away. Mm-hmm. Doing battle against him. You fight the world by fighting worldliness from creeping into your life. You fight by not allowing the world's music, entertainment, dress, attitudes into your life. Come on now. Hey, listen, folks. Hey, we got to fight the fight against the world. You fight the fight against the flesh, but not doing necessarily the things of your flesh that your flesh wants to do. No, you do what the Spirit wants to do. You crucify the flesh. The fruits of the Spirit abound in your life. Hey, you fight the flesh. Sometimes you hear somebody say, well, I'm just tired of fighting. Don't be.
Right.
Don't be. Listen, you'll never earn the crown of righteousness or any other crown if you don't fight. You got to have a warrior's mentality to be the kind of Christian that loves his appearing. You got to fight a good fight. You got to finish your course. Don't quit, amen? Don't be a quitter, right? Don't be wallowing in self-pity. Don't be wallowing in sin and worldliness when Jesus comes. Finish your race. It's going to get hard sometimes. Finish it anyway. It's going to throw unexpected circumstances in your way. Finish it anyway.
Right.
Sometimes you're going to fall down and you're going to get some blood on you. Finish it anyway. It's going to push you physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. Finish it anyway. Sometimes it seems like it's never going to be done. Finish it anyway. Finish.
Amen.
You want to love his appearing? Finish your race. By the way, not my race you got to finish. Not the person sits. That's your race you got to finish. Your race. Individually, amen? Individually. Hey, here's a fair question, okay? If the Lord tarries, and he could, but I don't think he's going to, all right? I'm not a prophet. No man knows the day or hour. But folks, this world is pointing to something big about to happen. I mean, crazy stuff going on, right? You know what I'm talking about, okay? But if he doesn't come, okay, where are you going to be 5 years from now? Where are you going to be? You realize that in the last 7 years, okay, and I'm not necessarily concerned about this because Jesus Christ prunes and purges his church. But in some instances, it shouldn't be that way. But in the last 7 years, if every person, every family that attended this church and not just casually visited, okay, I'm talking about started coming for a few months, started tithing, said, hey, we want to make this church our home. Some even joined this church. If they were still here, we'd be running over 200 right now. I'm not lying.
Yep.
Okay, we would be.
Yep.
But you know what? They couldn't take it. You know what they couldn't take? Truth. Because truth confronted their living and they didn't like it. And you know what they did? They said, you know what? That's not for us. And you know what? Fine, whatever. I'll do my job as a pastor. I'll do my due diligence. I'll try to follow up on them. But when someone says, you know what, preacher? You're preaching. By the way, they all, you know, you're preaching. No, it's Bible preaching.
Yeah. Right.
That's just, you know, that's just not for us. You know what I do, folks? I let go. Fine, go ahead. That's all right. I want those who do want this kind of preaching. Amen? Who want this kind of church. But all that to say, where are you going to be 5, 10, 20, 40 years from now? Where are you going to be? Are you going to let the devil take you out of the race? Come on, folks. Listen, the mindset of knowing that you're going to finish is because Jesus could come at any moment. And it's the mindset of loving His appearing. Amen? Loving His appearing. Quitters don't love His appearing. By the way, quitters won't receive crowns, and quitters for sure won't receive the crown of righteousness. Fight the good fight, finish the course, keep the faith. That word keep means to guard. Keep it from escaping, okay? I don't think there's ever been a time on this planet like the time we're living in when so many people are slipping away from the faith. Amen? Listen to me, folks. It's not because I say it. It's because God says it. Okay? It's not the faith of Pastor Reiser and White River Baptist Church. It's the faith of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Amen? Listen, you got to hang on to it, right? You say, well, preacher, it's not very politically correct. Good! I'm not interested in being politically correct. I'm interested in being Bible correct.
Yes.
Oh, preacher, you guys are just so narrow-minded at White River. Here's what I always say. Yep, you got it. I'm just narrow right here. That's how narrow-minded I am. About 3 inches. From what this book says right here.
Sir.
Amen? Listen, folks, we got to get back to the Bible, what the Word of God says. Keep the faith. And that's why so many people today, sad to say, are carried off in a bunch of false doctrine. Because you know what? Number one, they don't have the right Bible. Okay? They got the watered-down versions of the Bible or the whitewashed versions of the Bible. Amen, Amen. Brother Jeff? Come on. Yeah. Right? And listen, they ain't preaching truth. Preachers are afraid to get up because they're hirelings. They're afraid of the people. They're in it for money, not because of a calling. And they won't get up and preach, thus saith the Lord. It's all about safe spaces. Let's be safe. Let's make everybody feel good. Listen, folks, again, the Word of God challenges our living. Yes. Amen?
Amen?
So many people depart from the faith. I don't want that to be you. I don't want that to be me. I want to earn the crown of righteousness. So there they are, the five crowns that we can earn. Amen? Or for most of you, four, okay? Crown of life, crown of rejoicing, incorruptible crown of glory, the crown of righteousness. And by the way, listen, there may be more, I don't know. Okay? I mean, these are the five the Bible talks about. I mean, God's the type that He holds us accountable to what we know. There may be other things. I guarantee there are going to be other amazing things about Him the Bible doesn't talk about. I guarantee you that. Right? But all I know is this, okay? I've got my hands full with these five right here. Okay? In a lifetime, if I can work on earning these, then guess what? That's going to take me a lifetime to do. And so listen, folks, I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to keep at it. To keep at being the Christian God wants you to be. It's not going to get easier, by the way. The world's not going to get better before it gets worse. I'm just telling you. That's what the Bible teaches us. Amen? Listen, evil men and seducers will last worse and worse. The Bible says perilous times will come, and we're living in perilous times right now. It's not going to get better until King Jesus comes.
Right.
So listen, folks, but don't get discouraged by that. Be encouraged, because the darker the night, the brighter the light shines.
Right.
Amen? And hey, let's get motivated. Let's earn the crowns. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we love You. We thank You tonight, Lord, for the Word, for the truth of the Word of God. And Lord, I pray You'd help us, Lord, to take these truths as motivation. Lord, to be what we should be, Lord, in our daily lives. And Lord, it's one thing to come to church and say a certain thing or do a certain thing, Lord. But, you know, truth be told, we spend most of our time outside the walls of the church. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, through our families and through our jobs, our relationships in the community, God, that we would represent You, God, and be what You'd have for us to be. Lord, help us, we pray. God, we need You, Lord. Living like this, Lord, trying to do this, Lord, we cannot do it apart from the power of the Holy Spirit of God. So help us, Lord, we pray, to be Spirit-filled, led by Your Word, and be the Christians You'd have for us to be. Bless our invitation time tonight. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand together this evening.